I do thank you for those of you who are here for this, my farewell Sunday. I know there are others that would like to be here, they'd just rather be at the beach. So it is a good time to go to the beach. As I prepare for this, my last Sunday, I remember what Dr. Ken Callahan said one time. He said, "Don't preach your best sermon on your first Sunday." I don't think I'll be preaching my best one on my last Sunday. So here it is. As we have read in Mark's gospel today, we read this passage of scripture that again communicates the humanness of our Lord. He was fast asleep in the ship or in the boat. As I think about Jesus and this time with his disciples, in those times when I observe maybe my children sleeping, or maybe you have observed one of your good friends is sometimes maybe sleeping, I wonder how the disciples felt. I wonder what was going on in their minds. They had been journeying with Jesus. I'm sure they had experienced a lot of miracles. Jesus had been doing a lot of work and he was tired. And maybe as the disciples were looking at Jesus, they were saying, "Oh, doesn't he look so peaceful?" You know, with us being disciples and following Jesus, everything is good. He has turned water to wine. He's healed the sick, raised the dead, cleansed the leper, whole other things. He said, "Our life is safe with this man. Things are all right." You know the story. As they were journeying across the Sea of Galilee, Jesus was in the process of changing his ministry. I think sometimes about the storms of life and the things that have affected our society and our world. And as United Methodists, if you have studied any of the history of John Wesley, you know that in his voyage to North America, he too was in a storm. And I suspect that he was more akin to how these disciples were reacting than being cool and calm, because there were some people on board ship with John Wesley that were cool and calm. And they were the Moravians. And even Wesley said, not only the adults were calm and assured, but even their children. And Wesley was so captivated by this faith that he wanted to have this type of faith in his heart and life. And to this very day, wherever there are Moravians, there is a strong bond between us and them. When I think about this storm that Wesley and Jesus were in, I think about the storms that I have been in. Standing out in the revetment, working on my jet one day, and all of a sudden a storm blew in and there was wind all around and stuff flying all over the place, and I ran up under the wing of the plane and held on, and it was shaking back and forth. Didn't last long, found out it was a tornado that came through. One night in Joanna, it was one of those late, early morning storms, and the lightning was flashing, and the phone on the receiver was dinging, and the alarm clock was clicking. And my mom and dad were up walking around and all concerned. You see, at one time when my dad was a little boy, he was in a house, and I remember him telling that three rooms of that house were torn off. He said for 2 or 3 weeks after that, he was really a good boy. But I remember that night as the storm was snapping, as the lightning was snapping and the thunder was rolling, and the house was not at peace. A few weeks later, almost the same story. Another storm. The phone was dinging, the clock was popping and snapping. And Mom and Dad stayed in bed. You see, my dad had made a commitment to Christ in between those two storms. The second storm, he was a Christian. The first storm, he wasn't. And I remember at breakfast the next morning, and Dad said, "You know, I was at peace last night. And I'm thankful for that type of ministry that speaks of faith that has calming effect in the midst of the storm. I confess that at times in my life of faith, I think maybe I have dry docked my faith. I'm not so sure that I have all that assurance that I need to have." Kind of reminds me of the little boy that hollered to his dad and said, "Look, Dad, I'm swimming." And his dad said, "No, you're not." He said, "You're crawling along on the bottom." He said, "How do you know?" He said, "I can see the mud that you're kicking up from behind you." And sometimes I think maybe that applies to us when we perceive to have ventured out into deep water of life's experiences. We're really just on the shore when we're really called to be out into the deep. I remember when I was in seminary at Emory, and they asked the question, "Who is Jesus in your life?" Or, "Who was Jesus in your family as you grew up?" My response was, "He was always the guest. It was always as though Jesus was always there. Jesus was just as real in our family as any uncle or aunt." It's hard to imagine the privilege of being raised in a family like that. And as I think about these disciples as they are journeying, and maybe we can ask ourselves the question, who was Jesus on board that boat that day? Was he the friend? Was he the answer to all their problems? When I think about failures and experiences in life and tasks that we are called to be a part of, such as leaving one church and going to another, I ask myself again, and who is Jesus? And where is He in my life? For the reality is that if you follow Christ, He is not going to let you swim around in the shallow water. He is not going to allow you to always just stay in the safe harbor. He's going to call you out and commission you to journey with Him into the deep. One day I watched a mother bird as she was feeding her babies, and how diligently she took care of them, only to look down at the steps and there were cats. And I thought about the struggles and the insecurities and the trials that we have in life. Sometimes things happen that do scare us. A little boy tried time and time again, and finally he was successful in tying his shoelaces. Many of you, I'm sure, remember when you were trying to tie your own shoelaces. This little boy was finally successful, and his mother began to praise him and just say, "Oh, son, I'm so proud of you. Look what you have done." And the little boy began to cry. And she held him and said, "Son, what's wrong?" He said, "Mama, now I'll have to tie my shoes for the rest of my life." Jesus calls us to journey with Him for the rest of our life. He pushes us. He pushes us on. Like the mother bird, sometimes He pushes us out of the nest to deal with the issues of life. And there's nothing that Jesus cannot do. There's nothing that Jesus, I don't believe, will do that keeps us from all the storms of life. We live in a sinful, imperfect world. Most of us are going to go through some rough times. That's the fact. The title of the sermon today doesn't necessarily hermeneutically fit right in with this reading, because there are no oars rowing in this illustration. But when I think about boats, and I think about the different types of boats, I think about those who have sails and those that you row. And so, in closing, I ask you this question. Is your sail of life set so as to receive the wind of God's Spirit as it blows upon your life to push you in the direction that Christ would have you to go? As a church, as we row together, are we all willing to row in the same direction? Rowing together. Main Street knows so well that the journey of being a church is not always a peaceful journey. But it can be a peace-filled field journey with Christ present in our hearts and in our lives. We will not be called to sail around every storm. We may sail through the storm and come out still in one peace. One peace. I bid you God's peace and God's blessings. Amen.